Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deeply Rooted Homeschool. It's me, Brittany, and we are about to jump back into part two of our discussion on mom guilt and lies versus truth. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to part one, be sure to go back and listen to that episode too. All right, let's jump back in. Okay, so our next lie is another one that we hear a lot of, and that is basically, I'm at a disadvantage. And that can look like others are better equipped, maybe because of their education or because they have more support. That's a big one. I've got family that can come and watch my kids or, you know, give me a break or, you know, whatever that may look like. I've got these, other people have these resources and I'm doing this alone, seemingly alone. The education piece is a big one too. I hear it all the time. Well, you have a degree, so of course you can do it. And my answer to that is always, I don't have an early childhood education degree. I have a high school family consumer sciences teaching degree. It's very different. Now, I did teach child development and parenting, but that's still not, I had the same freak out moments of how do I teach my kid to read? It was a really overwhelming and daunting thing, but I feel like this is a huge, huge lie in itself because it's one that makes you almost cripple somebody into feeling like I can't do it because I am at a disadvantage.
Right. Maybe you don't have the schoolroom. Maybe somebody else has a really awesome schoolroom and space and organization, but maybe you're in a 2-bedroom tiny house. And that's fine. Like,
yeah,
you don't need a schoolroom. You don't need anything to homeschool your kid.
That's right. Yeah, that's a really good one. Yes, I've heard that quite a bit. You have a schoolroom. You have a place to do it. And my response to that is always my kitchen table is always my favorite place.
It ends up being the place anyway.
Yeah.
We didn't have a homeschool room for the first 5 years that we homeschooled. It was only in the 6th year of homeschooling that we got a homeschool room. And then my kids didn't even go in there. They just want to sit at the table.
It is a
or
struggle.
Bring it to the bathroom or wherever you are, that's where they're going to be.
It is a struggle. And if honestly, you know, we talked about how our school, we call it a schoolhouse. If we didn't have this, like if we didn't have a reason to be intentional about using this place, my favorite place is our kitchen table. And it was just so easy,
right?
To just, or my bed, honestly, just bring your books in here and let's do it in here. Having a designated area can sometimes be harder because you have to be very intentional about using it.
Right. It's a place for all the stuff to live. But other than that, I don't know that we do it around the kitchen island more than we do school in our school area.
Yeah.
But for sure, I mean, people do talk a lot about you have a degree, you have a teaching degree specifically, because a lot of that's an interesting point to make is that a lot of moms in our community and in our world here, they are all education-based people that have decided to pull their kids out and come homeschool. And so that can be intimidating for somebody who like me doesn't have that. And I have a degree and a background where I was educated, but it wasn't in education. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's like, okay, I don't know how to teach this kid to read. I don't know what to do with my kid who's not thriving in her math curriculum, whatever that is that you're facing. It can be intimidating.
But I can say from my perspective on what I, you know, my role in our homeschool group is that the moms with degrees are the hardest ones.
Absolutely.
When it comes to encouraging them that they can do this because they get in their heads. They get to where it needs to look a certain way. It needs to go in a certain way. It needs to look this way. It needs to act this way. This is what, you know, I need all of these things and I need to follow this schedule. And they turn it into something that it is not homeschool anymore.
Right.
And talking them down from that's not what it has to look like, because that's what it has to look like in public school because it's set up in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But homeschool is very different. And those moms, there's a lot of, we call it unlearning.
Yeah, you have to completely get outside of your own head mm-hmm. with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like public school for a reason.
For a reason, yeah.
And you're not trying to accomplish the same thing as public school.
Exactly. And I remember for myself, you know, I tried to create, you know, a curriculum and I tried to do all of these things on my own. And I got really burned out really fast. And I had to unlearn and relearn what I wanted homeschool to look like for my kids. And when I did that, I learned so much about myself and expectations that I had put on myself. And a lot of it came from this lie that others are better equipped. They have the money to invest in things. They have the time. You know, at the time I had another baby and it was just, I couldn't do all of the things that I felt like my kid that was in school needed because I had a baby. And this baby was keeping me from giving my school age kid what they needed.
Right.
And that was, I just remember thinking, I want to teach my kid, but I can't give him everything he needs.
Well, I want to go back to something that you said about they have a lot of money. They have the money to spend on all these resources and yeah. they can have all these school supplies and they have a giant schoolroom that's filled to the brim with educational materials, and that's just not necessary. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that the vast majority of homeschool moms that I know are the most thrifty people. They are people that are like, not only are they looking for deals and they scope stuff out and they research things out and figure out how they can get the information at the price that they need it to be, but then they're also the most generous, and people right. will share and swap. And if you need to borrow their curriculum for something, mm-hmm. they will totally let you. And it kind of comes back to the community aspect of things that, okay, so is there some, like, do you have to go do some research, and maybe you don't know how to teach your kid exactly how to read, and there is some work on your part. I'm not going to say that. I mean, you do have everything you need to be a great homeschool teacher because God gave it to you when he gave you your kid. Yeah. But it does take some work. There's research to be done. There's things you have to go seek out on your own. I don't know how to teach a kid to read. I had to go figure that out.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? You reach out to the people around you that have done it successfully. And they're for the most part, they're usually so generous with their time and with their ideas and their knowledge.
Yeah. That reminds me of when Kanan was starting kindergarten math. Or maybe it was first grade. I don't remember. But place value came up. And I thought, I've never seen that word before.
What does that mean?
What is place value? And so I had to reach out to a friend. And they had to teach me place value so I could teach my child. I didn't learn. I don't remember ever learning that in school.
That term? Like what place value means?
Yeah. Like any of it. Like, you know, it wasn't like when they said it, I said, oh. Yeah, I know what that is. I just learned it in a different way. No, like I don't think I ever learned.
You missed that week.
Apparently. Yeah, nobody made sure that I knew it. So, you know, props.
Well, even this week, I mean, I have one of my kids. I've always used the same math curriculum and it's just not working with them. And I don't know why it just doesn't work. And we're struggling to get math done. And I reached out to a couple of different people that I knew used different curriculums, just trying to kind of crowdsource, like, what would be another option? Because I've only ever used this one. My oldest is doing seventh grade math. And so for seven grades, I've only used this one kind. And it was incredible to me because I had one friend who was like, here's my login information. You can just go get in my login, my thing, and like see, so you can look at it and play with it and see what she thinks, you know, might be good for her. And then I had another friend who was like, I will bring you all, I have all the curriculums for all the grade levels. They have older kids. And she was like, I'll just bring it to you. You can just have whatever of it you need. Nice. And then the third person that I asked was just like, oh, here. And she was like screenshotting me pictures and showing me. For the most part, homeschool moms are here. They're on your team.
Yeah.
And you got to go get them and find mm-hmm. them. And if you don't have them, if you don't know homeschool moms, reach out to us. We can put you in contact with people. Like we know so many just mm-hmm. because of the nature of your job and what we've done over the past few years here. Yeah. And you got to find your people. You got to find yeah. other homeschool moms.
You are that homeschool mom. I don't know how many people.
Me? Are you saying?
Yes.
Me? Oh my gosh.
You are that encourager. You are that mom that a lot of people are like, okay, I'm going to come to Cami and Cami is going to, you know, you just take so many people under your wing and it's really cool.
Because other people have done the same for me. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. I know that I can think of two women in particular mm-hmm. that I wouldn't still be homeschooling the way that we're homeschooling without them.
Yeah. I would still be stuck in this way over my head type of situation if I didn't have moms that encouraged me to, like, hey, put that down. That's too heavy for you. That's yeah. you're caring about all of the wrong things. You're carrying weight that you shouldn't be carrying because that's not what homeschool is.
And we didn't talk about this as we were prepping for this episode, but something that's really important is as you do go on through your homeschool journey is to look back behind you and the people, like you've had these people that have poured into you and have pulled you along. Mm-hmm. Where are the next people? Yeah. Behind you that need to be pulled along, who have the kids that are a grade or two younger than you that need yeah. to come on
yeah.
or who might have questions about curriculum, but they don't even know who to ask and creating that, mm-hmm. Even if you're not a part of a co-op, but getting on a Facebook group, there's gajillions of Facebook groups that are homeschool curriculum or homeschool moms or this brand of homeschooling, this method of homeschooling, and finding those people and getting in there and making those relationships.
Yeah, it's super important. Otherwise, burnout is a reality and just giving up because you just, you know, feel like you have the support. You feel like you're at a disadvantage because you don't have support. And it's all out there. You just got to reach out.
And sometimes support looks different. I know we've talked about having support. Some people need support in terms of like they have a parent or a grandparent that comes and helps entertain the toddler and baby while you work on homeschool or homeschools your kids during certain seasons while you're with the little baby.
Yeah.
That can look very different, but a lot of us don't have that.
And I'll be honest, that is one of the things that when I compare to people, that's a big one. Because we don't have that. Right. We don't have, not that we don't have amazing friends that, you know, would watch our kids if we needed them to or, you know, whatever. But that's just not our reality. Like, we just don't. You know, we and my husband works from home, but he's working. So it is still us all day, every day. Me and my kids. Like,
right.
That's our reality. And so we have to do all the things together. And sometimes that's hard. You know, sometimes seeing your kids all day, every day and not getting a break and, you know, stuff like that, you have to figure out some of those things. You have to figure out how to get a break. You have to figure out, you know, how am I going to, you know, self-care. And I say that I'm kind of rolling my eyes because it's kind of a buzzword that
right.
people are using so much. But, you know, in reality, you do have to get a break.
Right.
But that is one of those things that when I hear people say, basically I'm at a disadvantage because I don't have help. My heart goes out to them because I do understand that, because we don't either. But that is actually, I feel like, another lie from the enemy because I would say most people don't.
Right. Oh, I think you're right.
I mean, I remember my childhood, my grandparents were there and there were seasons where we lived with them. You know, we were extremely close, but that's not my kids' experience. And I honestly don't know a lot of people that have that in this day and age.
Me either, to be honest. I mean, I think there's a lot of us who are just, and we have family, we have strong family that are here for us when we need them, but it's not on a, well, yeah, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, my kids go to their grandma's house. I mean, that's not really how that works for us either. And I think that that's really easy to fall into that trap of feeling like you need that or, yeah. Oh, it would be so nice if we did have that. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary. You're fully capable. You have everything that God gave you to be able to homeschool your kids. Like, you have everything you need.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like the sooner that we grasp hold of that and accept that as truth, the better off we're going to be.
Absolutely.
I know for me, like, God's saying, I put you on this path. I equipped you. I'm going to keep equipping you. Like, you know.
And if you can look up from your self-pity, I mean, because ultimately, let's be honest, that's what it is. It's your self-pitying.
Yeah.
What could have been or what should be. And if you can look up from that for just a little bit, the people that he places around you at just the right times, the mentors that are in your life that have gone on before you in the homeschooling world, and the friends and the neighbors, there's all kinds of things that he's just waiting for you to notice.
That's right. And it, again, the self-pity, that's very, very accurate because, you know, for us, when my mother-in-law died, there was a big moment of that for me, of self-pity. Like, oh, well, there went, you know, this really important figure in my kids' lives that saw them every day, that poured into them in a way that I couldn't. Or when I felt empty, there was this person. And when she died, it was like, well, now I'm at a disadvantage. Like, now I've lost that and my kids are going to suffer. That's ultimately what I thought. My kids are going to suffer because of this. And that pity, that self-pity was so strong. I mean, and of course, you know, grief is, you know, that was a big part of it, was the grief. But thankfully, the Lord is so gracious to just continue to show me, look around. Like, you have a community. You have people in your life. And again, I've given you everything that you need.
What would you say to the people who look around and they feel like they don't have that community? I think that it's really easy for us to sit here and say this because we've been plugged into a co-op. I've been a part of the same co-op for the past 6 years. And I think it's kind of easy for us to say that. But I know there are people out there that are sitting there saying, I don't have that community. I don't know who those people are.
And I think that we're going to address this in another episode when we talk about evaluating your values and, you know, figuring out what you need from homeschool, like, you know, what's important to you and goals and all, you know, all that stuff. We'll talk about all of that. And we have in the past, but it comes back down to being intentional. Kind of like with missing out on social experiences or, you know, experiences and socialization. You have to invest some. You have to invest in order to receive too. You know, join a group of some sort. You know, maybe it's not a homeschool co-op that you meet every week. Maybe it is, there's a recreational co-op in the community that just meets where they go to a park or something like that, and they just take lunches. And they have a really good thing going on now. They've been together for years now. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is your way of getting community. But you have to invest in order to receive.
Maybe it's, I was just sitting here thinking about in my younger homeschool days before I did join the co-op, that we're currently a part of, I was really involved at Bible study fellowship. Mm-hmm. There's community Bible study. There's things like that, especially when you have littles. But they also support school-age kids too. And that's a really great place to meet other people and form relationships with. And actually, a lot of a lot of our homeschool moms do that. Mm-hmm. And it's a second layer to the community that they already have. But I, you said something just a second ago that I wanted to go back to, and that it's, it takes some intentionality, and you have to choose to kind of put yourself out there a little bit. And for some of us, that can be really hard. And I was just going to share one little story really quick about the day that I met the lady who was our director when I joined our co-op. And we had been sitting, I think, I don't even know, have we talked about this with her on the podcast? We might have.
Yeah, we did. But okay. That's okay.
Yeah. So like, I was sitting there in this lobby watching her and her kids for an entire semester while our sons were at therapy. And I just kept, like, we never really had a real conversation. It was just, we were both in the same room at the same time, and we would make very superficial small talk. But I had been watching her kids, and I had seen a lot of what they were doing, and I really was intrigued by it. And I had at this time, during this semester, I gave birth to our youngest. So I had been super pregnant, and then he was born in March, and this was like in May. And so I had like this newborn, and he was crying, and you know, like I have a 2-year-old, a newborn, and then an older kid that isn't really with us because he's off in an appointment. And so I literally, that day, it was just like God told me, like, you have to go follow her to her car, which is creepy. Why did I do that? And get her number, because like, I need you to go. I need you to do that. And so that is so not who I am. I'm not going to walk up to a stranger and start talking to them. That's just not who I am at all. And I literally pulled over next to her in the parking lot and was like, I don't remember your name. What's your name again? I mean, we've sat in a room the entire semester and I still don't know this lady's name. And it took me getting out of myself a little bit. Mm-hmm. You can't just stay back here and hope to grow, right?
Yeah, that's right. And she's very excellent at that. I still hear stories to this day where she'll text me and she'll be like, and I got another person that I talked to in the parking lot or in a waiting room or, you know, something like that. Met up with this person and they just asked me this random question about homeschool. So,
and she can give like an entire dissertation on homeschooling at any given moment,
but she's available.
Yeah.
She makes herself available
and she
to do that.
Pays attention to what's going on around her. Yeah. And I guess she always encourages me to be that person as well now, to be that person that's like, hey, come on. Yes, there's room at the table for you. Please come join us at homeschool. Like we got this. You got this. We'll help you. We'll be your support system.
Yeah.
So find you some people like that.
That's right. And if you feel like you're at a disadvantage for whatever reason, talk to somebody about it. Because, you know, I had somebody that said, I'm at a disadvantage because of XYZ. And I was able to say, oh, I'm in the same boat. Like, you're not alone.
Right.
That's not just your story. That is a lot of people. I know a lot of homeschool families, and there are a lot of us. There are very, very, very few that are the opposite of what you're saying, that have, you know, these advantages, what you think are advantages. So,
Which is, it's the lie of isolation.
That's so true.
It's that the devil wants to isolate you.
Yeah.
Into thinking that you're the only one who's facing that. You're the only one. Everyone else has their life together. You're the only one.
So this must not be what we need to do.
Right.
Because of this.
Right.
So, which is just, I mean, it's absolutely a lie. And I just think, you know, what does the Lord have for you if you keep going? So the last lie that we want to address is this statement: someone else needs to teach my kid. And I believe that the lie is that they will see me at my worst. Another thing that we hear is, I don't have the patience. I hear a lot, no, someone else needs to teach my kid. Like, we will butt heads. We are going to battle.
I wish I had the patience.
I wish. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I wish I was calm enough to do that. I wish that I
Mm-hmm. I wish that our personalities didn't clash or, you know, whatever. Basically making it out like homeschool moms are just these gods. Saints. Yeah.
We are not saints. But the mom guilt piece of that comes in that maybe somebody else, maybe I'm keeping my kid. It all comes back to I'm keeping my kid from experiencing something better.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Somebody else is going to be able to get through to my kid.
Right.
Because I can't even get them to unload the dishwasher.
Brush their teeth.
Yeah. Whatever that may be. Yeah. So somebody else is going to be better equipped to do that. And I also think it's a fear of failure as well. Right. You know, like I am going to fail my kid.
You're going to lose your temper.
Yeah.
You're going to express your frustration at some point mm-hmm. with them about school. It's going to happen. That's a given.
Yeah.
You're going to get into arguments about how they wrote this number or this letter.
Yeah. Maybe every single day.
Sometimes in certain seasons.
That's not out of experience.
With certain kids. Let's talk about
yeah, how one of those, one of your children are going to.
If you have more than one child, there will be a time.
Yes. And for some, if you just have one, like your personality, sometimes, you know,
yeah.
You have a child that has maybe the same personality as you. Or, you know, sometimes it's very different personalities, you know, whatever it may be, you know, a lot of times we have that child that we just, it just happens. But where's the beauty in that?
Yeah. What is the truth What's of the that? Truth?
We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff here for this one. Probably because I feel like it's dear to my heart because I just see so much beauty in your kids seeing you in that light, you know?
Well, you're modeling. You're able to model your relationship with Christ with them and teach mm-hmm. them how to approach it when they do. You're going to lose your temper. You're going to get frustrated. That's a given, right? We're not perfect. And one of the things that my favorite thing that's come out of this podcast, seriously, is something I go back to every single day, is something that Allison said when Allison was on our podcast a few episodes back. And she said, the fruit of the spirit doesn't come naturally. You're not just naturally patient. You don't naturally have those things. You have to cultivate the fruit of the spirit in your heart. And that is so true. Yeah. And you're showing your kids that. And you're teaching them what to do when they do lose their temper, when they do make a mistake in how they're talking to other people. What do you do with that? And how do you reconcile that?
Yeah, that's right. And I can say from experience that my kids know the fruits of the Spirit very deeply because it was bred out of moments like this. Of just so much frustration with each other and so much of doing things that were not the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
You know, that we had to learn them together. We had to do Bible studies together of each fruit of the Spirit and watch the videos and sing the songs and memorize those things so that in those moments we could ask each other questions. Is that modeling gentleness? Is that self-control? No. Okay. Well, how can we fix that? Yeah. I mean, you just, so many scriptures, so many, like the armor of God, so many beautiful moments have come out of that. Now, is it easy? Absolutely not. I have a kid that we butt heads almost every single day. And I have grown so much from teaching him. And I'm sure he has to.
That reminds me, though. Have you seen that? It's a meme or a thing going around on the internet. And it says, what if homeschooling is not about teaching your child, but what if homeschooling is about what God wants to teach you and what mm-hmm. God wants to do in your heart? And I always think about that because, man, is it ever? Is it ever about your heart too?
It's
not
always.
Just your kid's heart.
Yeah. God isn't just trying to help you teach your kid.
Right. He loves them. He loves them and he wants you to lead them and guide them well. He entrusted them to you, but it's also about, man, homeschooling is the sandpaper on your heart. It just is. It's the sandpaper to all the things that left unchecked would be really, really ugly in me.
Yeah. No kidding. All those things that, I mean, you just don't have the opportunity to work those things out normally.
Right.
You know, in the workplace, you've got conflict resolution. You have the steps that you follow if such and such happens. But that's not the same as working with a child in their heart. And, you know, I tell my kids all the time, like, it's my job to help you become a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also, you know, the mirror on me as well.
Right.
You know,
right.
God is multifaceted in what he's wanting to accomplish through our homeschool. And, you know, deeply rooted, you know. We want those roots to be deep and we want them to be strong. We want the foundation to be really strong. And so I feel like this is where it happens. You know, when our kids see us in that light and you work together and you say, hey, I have to apologize to you. I apologize to my kids probably more times in our homeschool experience than I have in my entire life.
Yeah.
I've always been a people pleaser. I've always, you know, even as a child. And I have a child that's like that as well. And so I didn't have a lot of those experiences to apologize to people because I was always trying to make them happy. But in our homeschool, like, I lose my temper. I get frustrated. I mess up a lot. And I have to model that. And, you know, it's hard, but it's important. That's why I feel like homeschool is important. Work. Kingdom work.
And that just sort of reminded me of back to one of the earlier points we were making that you were talking about people, they want to put their kids in school to be like, to be a light and to be witness to other people. But when you have your kids with you all day, you have the ability to teach them how to serve other people, how to love other people well. When the phone call comes that your friend, whatever, your friend's grandmother passed away, your friend had a car wreck, your friend is just having a bad day.
Yeah.
You can go load your kids up and be like, you know what? We're going to go have a play date at their house and just hang out and wrap our arms around them. Or we're going to take them flowers or we're going to make them cookies or however you express that. They get to be there with you while you're doing that. And you're teaching them in those moments. And that's more important than the math lesson today or the whatever. You can set those things aside. And that's, to me, if my kids learn anything from being at home with me in their time, I mean, I want them to be able to do, you know, middle level math. But I also really, the more important thing and the thing that I would be more concerned with is that they know how to love other people well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you fall into this trap of someone else needs to teach my kids because they'll see my weaknesses. And it's like, but they're also going to see all the beauty. Like, they're going to see you working out this thing called life.
Right.
They're going to see you loving others. They're going to, you know, see when you have a grief attack or something, you know?
Sure. And what exactly is someone else going to teach your kids? Like,
exactly.
It's going to be very one faceted instead of multifaceted.
Very
right?
Surface level.
It's going to be sticking with the curriculum, period.
Yeah.
And in fact, I mean, I don't know because I'm not a teacher, but I feel I'm not a public school teacher, but I do feel like there's probably a lot of like rules and regulations about exactly what you can and can't teach and
that's right.
and those kinds of things. And this is so much more of a holistic approach, right?
That's right. Yeah, for sure. You know, you also, when, you know, when somebody else is teaching your kid, they get to plant some of those things in your child.
Right. And you don't really even know the person usually.
Yeah. That's like, is that what I want planted there?
Right.
Or do I want them to see, you know, the ins and outs of life?
And it's definitely if viewing things through the lens of God's word is important to you and your family. Like that's definitely not going to happen in most public school situations. So I think that that's another big thing. What lens are you putting on your kids?
That's right. Yeah. It's kind of like a beauty from ashes.
Right.
Type of thing too. You know, there's so much beauty in homeschool, and that doesn't mean that it's perfect, and it doesn't, you know, if it's got to be perfect all the time and you've got to have it all together all the time, then I mean, I don't know anybody that would homeschool.
Well, nobody does. Nobody has it all together all the time, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just not, it's not reality. And so it's, you know, it's just another lie that people believe in. And I also think that you have to have, I mean, you have to look at your priorities as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when this is the lie that you're believing, what you're really saying something else. You know, a lot of the times you're saying, I don't want to.
Right.
And so it's like, well, let's just say what you're really trying to say here. You don't want to homeschool your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of comes down to the priority of if this is something you want to do.
You're fully capable.
You are. Yeah, you are capable. And this type of lie isn't going to stop you.
Right. Right. I can see the value of having some other people. Sometimes there does need to be another authority figure in your kid's life, right? At some point, they're going to have another authority figure. They're going to have a boss. They're going to have something else, right? If they go to college, they will have a professor. They need to understand how to interact with authority figures besides just you. And I can understand that.
For sure.
I do. And I think that that's where you have to be intentional mm-hmm. and you seek out sports, you seek out music lessons, that kind of a thing where it's not just you that they're accountable to, that they have some another authority figure. And there is value in that. Absolutely. I don't think personally that it has to be for every subject for school.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. That's why when we looked at like piano instructors, I specifically looked at men because I want my kids to see men as mentors and that they can be taught by men. They can be led by godly men. I don't know. That was just something that the Lord put on my heart. Like, this is going to be important for your kids. And, you know, we've got taekwondo instructors and, you know, Sunday school teachers and things like that. And so I would totally agree. I don't want my kids to see me as like the only person they can receive from.
Right. No, because that would be a disservice to them. Absolutely. Yeah. There, you have to set them up for the rest of their lives as well. But when it comes to the day in and the day out, mm-hmm. I think absolutely you have what you need
exactly
to teach your child.
Yes, and the Lord's going to lead you in that as well. But you have what you need.
Right. Even if is it Sarah McKenzie that says if you have...
Probably.
She always says the good things. If you don't know Sarah McKenzie, go listen to her podcast or her... she has all kinds of good resources. But I think that she says if you have a Bible, a pen... And something else that you're capable of homeschooling. And it's very, very simple. It really is.
Yeah. We don't have to overcomplicate it for sure.
I hope that as you have listened to this, if you are struggling with any of these thoughts or lies about your homeschool abilities or any of the things we've talked about, that you will just take a moment to pause and ask God to show you the truth of what is really happening in your heart. And we just want to pray with you guys to close out this episode.
God, we just thank you for your truth. We thank you that you are so gracious to speak truth into the lies that we have let into our hearts and into our homeschool or even into the thought of homeschool, God. And we surrender these lies to you. And if we're still believing them, God, we just ask that you would speak truth into those. And God, we just thank you for the freedom that comes with homeschool, the culture that we can set, Lord. And we just ask that you would speak into that as well. And God, we just thank you. You're so gracious and you're so giving and you're so kind. And we say all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by today's episode. Make sure you check the show notes for links to everything that we talked about in today's episode. And make sure you check us out on social media at The Deeply Rooted Homeschool.